What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, have we decompressed, Vic, from the weekend?
I don't know.
I think every time we...
I don't know yet.
When we do this every Monday, because we're certainly aim to do it most Mondays, because it makes sense to do it after a weekend. I think that's a question I'll be asking you a lot, because, again, two games played each day and night, but still so many things coming out of these two four series going on right now. Anyway, deep breath. Here we go. Another week, Monday, May 12th. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, Pucks and Seven. Coming up, Dennis Bernstein will join us, the senior writer at the Fourth Period, and also a co-host of mine on the Hot Stove and Sirius XM Channel 91. We know him very well. Great person, great guy. We'll talk about a lot of things with the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Kings specifically, too. Off the ice, Rob Blake gone. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean, and how's the GM search going for the LA Kings? So we'll dive into that and go 77 seconds in with Dennis as well. Let's get into, again, coming up in the first segment here, we're going to talk about Ottawa and Montreal. No, not the Sens and the Canadiens. Not them.
The we are going to talk about Ottawa and goodness. Montreal, yes.
Yeah, the Charge and the Victoire. What an epic game that was. Overtime after overtime after overtime after overtime. We'll dive into that. We'll talk Edmonton. It's now Stuart Skinner's crease in Edmonton. What does that mean? The Canes moving along against Washington. We'll talk Toronto and Florida. But let's begin, Vic, with the Dallas Stars and the Winnipeg Jets. Dallas winning at home. Maybe I should rephrase that. Winnipeg losing again on the road.
It has been a narrative that I'm sure the Jets really, really need to shake. Well, they do need to shake, or else they're not going to play any more hockey. So they want to figure out how to do that. What I really liked about this game at the start was the fight back from the Jets. So they went down a goal and then they tied it up. Then they went down another goal and then they tied it up. And you thought, okay, 2-2, now we're cooking with gas. And now we're going to see what they're capable of on the road when they fought back twice and just shown a little bit of that scrappiness. And Hellebuyck was looking fine enough.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Yeah.
And I'm not putting the result completely on this.
No, you can't. You can't.
It has to be a host of different factors.
Yes.
But there was just very simply for anybody who hasn't watched this, there was a goal that the Dallas Stars scored on Hellebuyck to go up 3-2. Mm-hmm. It was called a goal on the ice. You could see that there was kicking motion on behalf of the goal scorer. There was. I mean, nobody's arguing that fact on Petrovic. And so the league had a look at it. Mm-hmm. After 10,000 hours, they came back and determined it was a good goal. Because it went off, okay, listen, it went off Hellebuck's stick and into the net. And it
and
was
propelled.
Okay,
propelled
propelled was the word of the night. Propulsion was the word of the night. Mm-hmm. But what the rule book says, and this is why a lot of people are having an issue with this, is that it can't go, it's no goal if it goes out. Sorry, it's a good goal if it goes off any other player's stick. Except the goaltenders, which is what happened. So this propulsion apparently made it all right. That's the controversy. People are still reeling from it. Ryan?
Yeah. I think it's much to do about nothing, to be honest with you. The big thing for me was that it was called a goal on the ice. And how many times have we seen these controversial plays? Whatever is called on the ice, you need to have.
I understand.
Ton of evidence, 150% worth of evidence to overturn that. So that was one thing going right for Dallas. You read about the rule and what it says in the rule book, and Scott Arneil came out after and he said, yeah, this is what it says in the rule book. If it goes off this it counts. If it doesn't off the goalie, then it shouldn't count. They said that there was no distinct kicking motion. And I do believe that if you slow it down and just try to freeze frame it, and maybe the situation, well, I'm sure the situation room does this. This is what they do. Remember we had Gary Lawless on who said he went to like
he spends time there whenever he can. Yeah.
And this is one of those moments I'd love to be a fly in the wall and just kind of look and listen and see and how many different angles and how many people are staring right at the screen and trying to figure out, we have to make this the right call. And what evidence do we see that maybe others don't? I've looked at it a ton of times, and I did it a little bit more this morning because I knew we were doing this show. And I do believe, even if it was just a fraction of a part of the blade of Petrovich, I do believe that from the skate, the kicking motion, he was directing it with his left foot toward the goal. I do believe that there was some contact made by the stick. And if that's the case, then it hits the stick and then it's a good goal because that's it hit the stick, right? So that's the only thing that I can see. And I think that's probably why the NHL was thinking, well, if they're saying there's no distinct kicking motion, then they agreed. I think they agree with me that there was that point where it did hit something other than his skate before it went into the net.
Then why didn't they say so? Ryan? They came out and talked about propulsion and Hellebuck's stick and how he propelled it. If it actually did hit Petrovich's stick, then they should have said, oh, it actually hit. It glanced off the player's stick before going in the net. Right. Anywho, it was called a good goal. The long and the short of it.
And the long and the short of it is this. Connor Hellebuck, he can't stop a beach ball, whether it's propelled into him or not. He can't stop anything on the road. He can't do. What did I tell you? I said, is Hellebuck going to be okay against Dallas? And I said, well, we'll see what happens when he gets to Dallas in game three. We'll see what happens when he gets to Dallas in game four. Most consecutive road playoff games allowing at least four goals, he has eight. He's one off a record. You do not want to be in the record book in the National Hockey League. So I don't know what it is. There's two reasons why Dallas will win this series. Number one, Mikko Rantanen, you shut him out in game two, not so much in game three. Mm-hmm. And number two, Connor Hellebuck cannot win on the road. Yes, I know the Winnipeg Jets have home ice, and they do have game seven at home if need be. But I'm telling you, Vic, I don't see this. They got through St. Louis just by this much. Dallas is better than the Blues, and they have Mikko Rantanen. The guy is on another level right now. I don't see it happening for Winnipeg. I know.
The long and the short of it is whether the goal should have counted or didn't counted, whatever. It counted. And then seconds later, they allowed Mikko Rantanen to skate through the defense and score
a goal. That was the dagger.
That was the dagger. And you felt it at the time because you thought if the Jets can get back out there, but just they couldn't hold it off for even a minute. And they do need to win one game on the road if they're going to move on. That is the math. They have to. Okay.
I agree.
Anyways, let's move on from Winnipeg. And
tip of the cap to Rantanen, 17 points in the last six games. He's factored in on 15 of Dallas's last 17.
It's so funny. They figured
goals.
It's amazing, but they figured him out in game three. Sorry, game two.
Game two. Yeah.
And then didn't again. It's like, why didn't you just repeat? I guess it's always a series of adjustments, right?
You want to know why? Because Rantanen's too good. That's what the great players do. You can figure out a McDavid in one game or even for two periods, which is very rare, but say you do, you can't do it for a full game. You just can't do it. He's too good. Okay.
Jets are Leafs, tight now. Let's move on to the Leafs.
Leafs-Panthers last night. Again, that game certainly ended with a bunch of controversy coming into that one. Your thoughts on it, Toronto now and Florida. It is a best of three. Game five coming up on Wednesday. That series now tied at two.
What we haven't seen so far this postseason, really, from either one, is Wall was outstanding in that game, and Bobrovsky was also very good. Yeah. And so coming down to it, the players in front of Bobrovsky were better than the players in front of Wall, and that's why the Maple Leafs lost that game. That was the quintessential Florida Panthers hockey. Looks exactly like the team that hoisted the cup last spring, and the Maple Leafs better look out and make their adjustments and start to figure out how to put the putt in the net, because they're not going to win the 2-1 battles. They're not. That's Florida, right? or 2-0 or 3-1. They've got to figure out how to score more.
We've had DeAndre Liu on this show quite a bit, and she follows Tampa Bay, and she texted me last night. She said, Toronto's in trouble. I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, Florida's doing exactly what they did to Tampa tonight, which was last night against Toronto. And she said exactly what you said. It was Bobrovsky making the saves. Their PK was fantastic. They bully you. They're tough. They score the time. Sam Bennett. Somebody hates Sam Bennett. That was a heck of a goal.
It was gorgeous.
Gorgeous goal. Gorgeous.
The hesitation coming across. Yeah. You've got Tanev and McCabe are sprawled all over the ice, and we're talking about the top pair for Toronto.
I know.
No, that was a gorgeous. You can hate Sam Bennett all you like, but that was absolutely beautiful.
I'm going to throw this at you, and I will be in the minority, and I'm more than likely 99.9% sure this is not going to happen. I would sit Auston Matthews for game five on Wednesday.
No, you can't.
Here's my reasoning.
You'll destroy
Here's my reasoning.
No.
Here's my reasoning. Here's my reasoning. Just listen to this. Mm-hmm. He's not giving the Leafs the best chance to win. I know that he's hurt. He's not giving into as much. He's not practicing. He'll practice now because there's a few days up, but he's not. Why? Because you're hurt. So if you're hurt, and I know that you don't get paid after the last day of the regular season, but you are expected to perform at a level above everybody else on your team, pretty much. When you're not doing that, you're taking away from the club as a team in general. I know this is not going to happen. I get it. But I'm just saying, that to me is almost a waste of a body. And I know the narrative is, oh, Auston Matthews at 60% is better than some guys at 100. It doesn't matter. This is the cup. You need to put out the team that you think will give you the best chance to win. And right now, I'll be honest, I don't think having Matthews not healthy is giving the Leafs the best chance to win.
Most successful player in the entire league this postseason in the faceoff dot. Most faceoff wins.
But you're not paid to win faceoffs, Vic. You're paid to score goals.
You partly are.
You are not paid. No, you do not have a, you're not going in as your agent saying, hey, how much are you going to give him because he wins faceoff? Not a chance.
Okay. Jordan Staal has created a career and earned more money than he would have otherwise because of his success in the dot.
Okay.
I understand it's a goal scoring league. I'm with you on that. But something else here. Do you not agree that the Maple Leafs are not going to go anywhere if he doesn't figure out how to put the puck in the back of the net?
I 100% do. And that's what I'm
then
saying.
You have to throw him out there because he needs to find the back of the twine once. Only two players have more shots on net than him this postseason, Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid.
Yes,
he's shooting Ryan.
But no, the other night he led the league, 19 missed shots.
Yes.
No one's missed more than Auston Matthews.
So you've got to keep on firing. Roll him out there, 22 minutes and out. Keep on firing because this is one of those situations he finds it. No, he's not as accurate. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But he's not a liability two ways either. So you got to roll him out there. You can't crush him right now by sitting him. The captain, oh my goodness. No.
Hey, it's a ballsy move. It's a ballsy league.
Sure is.
If you want to try it, then go for it. And the Leafs have proved they can win without him. They can win without their record without Matthews. It's not going to happen. And
no.
I know it's in the minority, but I'm just saying. Anyway, quickly, again, a lot of hits in the series, right? Of course, the Stolars and the Bennett and the puck and all that stuff. So Domi last night ends the game with a nice little, hey, Alexander Barkov, we'll see you in game five. And then Tkachuk yapping at Nylander saying, I'm going to get you in game five. And then Oliver Ekman-Larsson as well. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say this. You wrote those two down in the lineup. You could look at so many other hits in this series. Look at the one by Kulikov on Marner, the elbow up a tiny bit. Tavares got hit in the head as well. Tanev got, there's a whole bunch of hits that have gone, I can say not noticed, but unpenalized. But the ones last night, anything come of this Domi thing? Because I don't think anything will. Unless
I don't think
fireworks happen in game five.
I don't think anything will. He might get fined. I don't think anything substantive will. I think it should. I think Max Domi should get a game for it. I'm tired of this boarding nonsense. It's scary and dangerous.
Right.
I don't think Oliver Ekman-Larsson should get anything. That was a pure shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah,
it was
agreed.
It was interference, Ryan. And he got two
minutes
for interference. And
agreed.
Now we're wiping our hands of it and moving on.
Yeah.
It was a clean hit. You just didn't have the puck.
But
I think Domi should be suspended a game, and I don't think he will be.
Okay, so then why wasn't Scott Laughton suspended
but
a game?
I'm not doing the whataboutism stuff.
Like, I know,
this
but I'm just
happened.
Saying.
This should have happened. I agree with you on all of that, but I'm
Domi's,
saying today, Monday morning, Domi should be suspended a game for that, and he won't be.
Yeah, no, I know. Anyway, game five, it's going to be nuts. The first 5-10 minutes of that game. That's Wednesday. Okay, before we get to Edmonton and the Vegas Golden Knights, Carolina and Washington. Can you hear it? Oh, yeah, the Canes. They're just quietly going about their business. How many times have you and I talked about this?
Hoist the cup in June and go, how did we get here?
Oh, my gosh.
Just don't talk about it. That's not true.
Give them credit. Yeah.
I'll give them all the credit in the world. They figured out how to solve the Capitals. They figured out how to solve that big body presence. They found a solution for Tom Wilson to a degree.
Yep.
They've really, really quieted Ovi big time.
Yeah, big time. Yep.
Playing great defensive hockey. They're getting great goaltending. if Freddie can stay healthy, look at.
You just checked off like all the boxes for success. 2-1 in game one, 3-1 in game two, mm-hmm. and then they shut out the Capitals in game number three. I'm with you with Ovi. They're on him all the time, right? And he hasn't had a lot of struggles over the course of the postseason. Didn't struggle too much against Montreal in that opening one. Canes are playing well. They're getting goaltending. Mm-hmm. They're not going to wow you all the time with how exciting of a hockey team that they are, but they're very, 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 very well coached. Game number four coming up tonight. That's at 7 Eastern time. Stuart Skinner. This did not make me happy because I'm on the Pickard train, but I have to get off it for the time being, Vic and Edmonton.
Calvin Pickard's hurt. Can't go game four. Stuart Skinner gets another shot. Yeah. Ryan Payton is skeptical.
Devastated. Edmonton's done.
Skeptical.
Edmonton's done. They're done. They're done. I'm calling it right now. They're done.
I have a little bit more faith.
Nope, done.
What about the loss of Mark Stone? Do we know if he's coming back yet or not? Because they're staying very quiet on that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big difference maker for Vegas.
Yeah, and Vegas has said they've been battling, right? They've been battling a bunch of different injuries. That game, I saw one tweet at the end of that game, and some guy just ripped Stuart Skinner for giving up that goal to Riley Smith. I thought that was one of the stupidest takes I've ever seen. And his reasoning was,
at all.
Are you kidding? He did everything right. You come out to challenge a player. You want to force them to the outside to not have as much twine to shoot at. That's what you do as a goalie.
And also, it went off Leon Draisaitl's foot.
Exactly.
It would have went right through the blue paint.
All his take was anyway. That he shouldn't come out and he's, oh my gosh, enough. So this is huge. And for Vegas again, because if that game went to overtime, I think most people would have agreed that probably Edmonton was going to find a way to win. That's mm-hmm. just what they do in overtime. Well, maybe not according to you, but we'll see. Anyway, it's Stuart Skinner. It's your time now, buddy. So Calvin Pickard was hurt in game two, I think, right?
He was hurt in game two.
He was hurt in game two. Okay. Last one. You want to how long was that game? 5+ hours, Ottawa and Montreal? 6 hours?
I dipped into it back and forth. So it's a playoff game between it's PWHL between the Ottawa Charge and the Montreal Victoire, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite hockey sweaters in all the land.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Yeah,
it's beautiful. Yeah. And the colors
better than the Panthers. Panthers jersey with the palm tree.
It's not even. We're not even talking about Florida. I mean, it just has to come out. One of the most beautiful. Anyways, what a heck of a game! It went to a fourth overtime. We're talking mm-hmm. full minutes here, folks. So the shots got up into the 60s, player mm-hmm. minutes got up into the 50s and even into the hour mark. They were just a bunch of horses out there. You could tell they were so gassed by the end of it, but they're still giving it their all. And they're still like, you know, moving 3 times as fast as you and I. But just from playing that much, congratulations to Montreal. They actually pulled it out in the end. It was a heck of a hockey game and they have now secured their first ever playoff victory and they did it at home. It was quite something.
The goal coming at 15:33 of the fourth mm-hmm. overtime period. Catherine Dubois, she said she blacked out. She doesn't remember what happened.
So tired.
I would have as well put the puck in. Oh, I'm hoping that I'm raising my arms because I did something right. I don't know. Longest game ever in the history.
And there was a visual tweeted out by the ringside reporter, and I can't remember her name, Ryan, so it's on the tip of your tongue. And she showed the photo of a whole whack of mustard packs taped up to the glass. Because apparently with the electrolytes and the potassium and the sodium in the mustard, it helps you not cramp. But I just thought of everything. Nobody has some Pedialyte or something around here like it's a professional sports team.
No.
And they shouldn't. You're into a fourth overtime, heading to a fifth. Hey, if you're resourceful enough to figure out that the mustard packs are working, good on you.
No, I agree. That was a heck of a game, heck of a moment. Good on. And PWHL, I can speak for you with this. Love it. Can't wait to see what's going to happen.
I've been to some games this season. It's fantastic. Yeah. Yes.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Dennis Bernstein, senior writer, fourth period, will join us, co-host of mine on the Hot Stove on SiriusXM Channel 91. Talk to Dennis some more about the Stanley Cup playoffs, the LA Kings, and go 77 seconds in with DB as well. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, Dennis coming up.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
It There's many things that we can say about our guest, Dennis Bernstein. One of them is that he always gives people his time, and he's giving us his time here again on Pucks and Seven. Dennis Bernstein, senior writer, Fourth Period, my co-host, along with Dave Hamiota. I didn't even know if he's a co-host, to be honest. He just shows up and tries to do something on the hot stove. On Sirius XM 91, we've known DB a long time. And he's doing this from Los Angeles. Looks like you're ready to go play baseball, Dennis, with that shirt you got.
It's a Fourth Period jersey.
I love it.
Fourth Period.
Right. I like it too. Brandy. Very snazzy.
There ever been a team with, have you guys ever put together like a summer squad?
No.
Dave ever done that? It's too much
work. An athlete?
No.
Those who can't write.
Right. I've used that in the past.
We're going to go 77 seconds in with Dennis in just a bit. We'll also look at the Kings. Of course, some big news off the ice. Rob Blake is out. How's the GM search going? We'll kind of decompress what happened with the Kings and going into the offseason. In the season to come, we'll go around the NHL, DB. Let's begin with Vegas and the Oilers. You certainly saw a lot of Edmonton in that first round against the LA Kings. That was a 0.4 seconds of holding your breath when Riley Smith scored that goal the other night. So many storylines coming in that one. The fact is, though, Vegas got the win, DB. They needed that. They're down 2-1 now.
Yeah, that wasn't game seven, but it was game 6.5 of them. Right?
Yeah, pretty much. It was must win. Yeah,
they're not coming back. And they had to replicate it. And it comes down to one guy, Stuart Skinner. I know they want to say, oh, Leon batted in the net and the other guy's overplayed. He's got to make more saves. If he doesn't, they're gonna get what they did to the Kings by the Vegas Golden Knights. So this is a critical game because you don't want to go back, Pates and Vic, 2-2. You don't want to do that after you won two games in that den. I don't think they're going to win another game in that building. So it's a critical game here and all the great things that they've done. They won 6 in a row coming from behind.
Yeah.
One loss. Now people are starting to have the narrative again. Oh, Skinner's not the guy. Are they at that depth? It's an older team. Are they not that fast? But as important as the game is for Edmonton, it's really important for Vegas. Because if they go out in the second round, that's not what the plan was. It's never the plan in Vegas. So it's going to be a very, very critical game tonight for both sides.
Let's go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, we talked about this dance on the weekend about Calvin Picker, right? I've been on the Picker train for months and months and months. So when Skinner comes in, again, yes, I agree with you. He's got to make more saves. And this is probably, I would say, the game to come is one of the biggest ones of his career, just with what's at stake. And now all the mentality and everyone is looking at him. It's his goal for as long as Pickard's out, I guess.
Agreed.
On that, following that train of thought, what does Vegas now need to do? They're still down in the series. I mean, we're almost talking about this is all feels tied and it's not. What does Vegas need to do now to make sure that they tie this up and maybe seize a little bit of advantage?
Well, Vic, again, I know Connor Leon had that great goal to win, game two, but they haven't wrecked the series again. They haven't really been that effective, right? So that's it. So I think more of that, they need to get Jack Eichel going offensively.
Yeah.
I've been throwing flowers to this guy all season saying, if another season he'd be MVP. Well, he hasn't played MVP level. The one highlight he had this round was getting, when Connor blew by. So he hasn't been good. Him and Stone haven't been good. I know Stone got banged up. So I think that you want more from your top line guys. But I think they're playing the game correctly. They're playing Vegas Golden Knights hockey. The physicality is there. So more of the same. But keep on defending Connolly like you have. And hopefully we can get something from the top line offensively to take it back to Vegas at 2-each.
So if Edmonton moves on, regardless of who moves on, they're going to take on either Winnipeg or Dallas. Again, coming out of game three in Dallas, the discussion, well, a couple of things. We'll get to that kicking goal propulsion thing in a second with you. But the bigger one to me, but before that one is Connor Hellebuyck again. He can't win on the road, Dennis. He was terrible against St. Louis. Now he loses again on the road. I don't get it. If Winnipeg has any chance of getting through Dallas, you have to win this next game specifically, not just because you'd be down 3-1, but because it's on the road. And to be honest, I think Hellebuyck needs to put up an incredible performance, maybe shut them out to quiet everybody, including myself.
I don't think that would quiet anybody. I think if he got to, let's say, the farthest he's gone was the Final Four in 2018. So if he got to a cup final and the conversation went up until that point in time,
sure.
And say, okay, it's when he plays good, it's gonna know what it's gonna be. Oh, it's one game.
Right.
And he's so deep, like I haven't seen I haven't seen a ton of him all season, but he doesn't play like that. He's a more aggressive goaltender. He's been so far back. And I know you want to lay someone on the defense and you can, But there's some of those stops. I'm sorry. They're stoppable. Yeah. Like some of the goals are going in, can't be stopped. Got to be stopped.
Yeah.
So while the, and remember going back, what, the last series, game five, they always talk about putting Aaron Comrie in the net.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
This guy's going to win the Vezina. So it's always going to be about Comrie. But they do have enough, you know, there with respect to Marcy coming back. They have enough offense. It's going to come down to their defense. But you know what? We saw this last year. Like, and I know they're in the second round as opposed to the first round against Colorado. But something happens in the playoffs where they're not a great defensive team and they have to outscore the mistakes. And that's really, really hard to do, against, especially against a team like Dallas, who you know is not going to give you a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. Jets still have a shot in this, do you think?
It could go seven. Yeah, I like Dallas in six. They're not done. They're done if they, you know, game four, if it goes south, then they're done.
Agreed.
But they got a shot here. They've been competitive all the games, Vic. They haven't been blown out of the water here. So, yeah, they are, but they're going to, like Pate said, got to think that Hellebuck's got to have one of those 31 shots, 29 saves, big time saves, and you win on the power play. So they're not the better team, but they certainly still have a chance in the series.
Well, the good thing is he did already pitch a shutout this series. So it's, you know, he can feel comfortable in the sense that he knows
he
can't.
Okay. That was at home.
I can't have a shutout, Vic.
Yeah. We could have,
You got to grab whatever you can grab at. I'm just saying.
Conceivably, if they just win their, well, they got to win one on the road now because they do. At home, but. Yeah, conceivably, yeah, you could trust. But do you trust? Here's the thing. I never trust Jake Oettinger fully.
Yeah.
Like, I think Jake might throw up a performance that might get Winnipeg back in the series. If it's game four, game five, whatever. There's some games where he doesn't play great either. And that's the one thing about that thing. And that's the annoying thing about not just him, but the whole team. Like, you watch how they played in game two, but they didn't really play at all. They didn't really do much.
Yeah.
You look at that line, like, okay, I know they're at home and they really good defense, Winnipeg, and they get shut out. But some games Dallas doesn't show up, and I scratch my head. I'm like, this team's going to win 16 games. They very well might be. They're one of the favorites. But there's some nights where they don't play well at all. And it was like it wasn't game two. So if you're a Jets fan, hopefully they repeat that in game four.
The Petrovic goal, the puck being propelled into the net. Just, I mean, we don't have to, again, go through the officiating. I know there's been a whole bunch of talk in the postseason about this, the calls missed, the whatever. Just kind of your take on that.
That, to me, that wasn't direct, distinct kicking motion. That didn't go directly in the net. He was to the side of the net. He guided the puck with his skate. It hit Hellebuck's stick. He played the puck. I don't know what the argument's about. He didn't kick the puck in the net. He didn't. It went in the net eventually. Mm-hmm. But too many other things happened between the time that puck hit his skate and it going in the net.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
And you know what? It did. If that was overtime, game winner, 3-2, you don't have a chance to come back. Okay, what about the rest of the game? That's what I was.
Yes, I'm agreeing.
Yeah. Penalty call. Like, I'll give an example. Like, when they were complaining, Vegas was complaining about Wah getting a 5-minute, or Edmonton was. You could have won that game if the knucklehead didn't take a 5-minute penalty and go in the box. Mm-hmm. You had opportunity.
Yeah.
So don't tell me, we lost on a power play or whatever. So these questionable calls or these calls that are really tough to make. And look, that review was too long. But I know why they did it, and that's what you want. It's a playoff game. It's a critical goal, right? So, but the people that complain about one particular call in one game, unless it ends the game, guys, go win the game. Go kill a penalty.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you.
Power play goal.
Yeah.
It doesn't end game, so I don't know what the outcry is, because this is the toughest league to officiate and referee in.
That review took almost as long as the PWHL 4 overtime between Ottawa and Montreal.
Not quite.
No. Yeah. Anyway.
D, I disagree with you about whether it's a goal or not. I didn't think it should have been a goal, just according to the rule book. In spirit, I think it should have been a goal. According to the rule book, it shouldn't have been a goal. However, I'm with you 100%. Don't let Mikko Rantanen score on you then in the following seconds. And now you've really pooched away the game. So you're down 3-2, get back in it, pull up your socks, and do your best to tie it up. And they didn't do that.
Panic time, Dennis, for Toronto?
No, don't like the way they played.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
Don't like that. It's not how you play against that team.
Yeah.
Now, who's the more confident team going into game five?
Panthers, 100%.
Or Panthers, right? Yeah. So I don't think it's a here we go again situation, because I think that the team is better. It's a different coach. Mentality's.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree.
But that's why you hired this coach for this next game, for game five. Let's see what the response. I always talk about responses. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a good game for them. Let's see how they respond at home. Because if they lose that game, they're going down to Florida winning game six.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't bet on that. So this is why you got Craig Berube, to steady the waters, to calm the waters. That wasn't a good performance. The big guys have to show up. And certainly, you know, you look at Austin Matthews' goal totals, he's not 100%, right? Nobody's saying it, but everybody's thinking it. Yep. And so this is a critical game for the Leafs, because if they lose this one, I don't see them going Florida winning game six.
Do you think it's an advantage having the two full days off for the Leafs just because of the momentum that the Panthers feel right now? Or do you think that's not even something to talk about?
If it got Stolarz back in net, it would be an advantage. Other than I think it's too late in the season, Vic. I think who's ever banged up is playing, and who's too injured is not playing. So I don't think that extra day gets you a rest or anything like that. And I think mentally, I think most players would probably prefer to play every other day if that's how they've been playing. That's what the cadence is. Mm-hmm. So 2 days, is it an advantage for the Leafs? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be sitting around their houses saying, oh, we got an extra day to think about how we're going to beat the Panthers.
Yeah.
They know how to beat the Panthers. They just have to go out and do it.
Before we get to the Kings, just biggest surprise, again, we're what, into round two, a few games into each series, biggest surprise, if that's the correct word for you, this postseason, something that you kind of, oh, okay, I didn't expect that to happen.
You could argue that the best forward on the Oilers is Corey Perry.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good take, and it's true.
And you could probably argue the second most effective forward is Evander Kane. Mm. Just think about that.
I know.
Just think about that. So that's the biggest surprise. Corey is going to be 40 years old soon, I think this week or something like that.
Yeah, it is this week.
He's playing like he's 25. Yeah.
There was a stat the other day, and I said this on a show on the weekend, that Edmonton, before they went into the last game against Vegas, they were outscoring the opposition 14-8, 5-on-5, without McDavid and Draisaitl on the ice. And I thought that stat is very key.
The depth's come through for them big time. Yeah. Yeah. Because Connelly are at the top, but they haven't wrecked the LA series. They haven't wrecked this series so far.
Yeah.
And it's been a tribute to the other guys, even like a Connor Brown, even Trent Frederick. So their depth has really come through. What did I think it would? And a guy like John Klingberg, was he retired? Didn't he come out of retirement?
He's playing better than a lot of people anticipated as well, especially defensively.
The fact that what Corey Perry's doing right now, and I know he's playing with Connor Leon a lot, but to me, the guy at that advanced age is just, that's the biggest surprise for me.
Tangential question on the Corey Perry topic. Does he go into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think so. I would think so.
I do too.
He's among the elite of his generation. So he's played, and his longevity, he's won an MVP. He has won a Stanley Cup, even though people want to refer to the 9 times in a row he's gone to the Cup Final, whatever it is, and not won. Yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer for sure.
He may find his way to worm himself into the Hall. Kings GM search, Dennis, Rob Blake out. Update on that, kind of where do you think it's going to be going? Are we going to get somebody in place sooner than later? What do you think?
I think this week you got to move on it, right? Because you got the draft coming up. You have free agency. You have a couple of free agents, big time free agents, like Gavrikov is a free agent. You got to figure out what to do with him. Certainly he was a core player. And you saw in the playoffs and late in the season, Kuzmenko's also a free agent. You saw him. So I got to think it's this week. Now, there's been talk about Mark Bergevin here. But Mark's been here, and I think if there was a seamless transition to go from Rob Blake to Bergevin, who was his senior advisor, you would have done it already. So they are interviewing some talk about Kenny Holland. They said they want to go with the first – they're not averse to going with a one-time, first-time GM like they did with Rob Blake, because Rob Blake was not a GM before. I still think it's probably Bergevin, but the fact that they're still interviewing people means they're not sold on any particular person. They said they want to cast a wide net. But I think you got to get it done this week. So I would expect that they would make a decision, because it's not like there's 20 candidates here. There's probably 5 or 6 internally, maybe Mark Unity, who's up there, amateur scouting. It's a critical time for the Kings, though, right? You know, they got to figure out a way to get success in the playoffs. They probably got to go get another big-time player like Marner if he goes to free agency, or Brock Besser. And that GM's going to kind of guide the direction of this team, because they appear to be close, but they're certainly not close enough.
You've alluded to a few items to check off the list here. What do you think the Kings' biggest priority is this offseason, once there's new management in place?
Sign Gavrikov, because he's a top four defenseman for that team. And then go out and get another big-time player. You know, you think about the core four they had. Brown, Kopitar, Quick, and Doughty. Now the new core four is coming with Byfield, who's the number one center now. Adrian Kempe, who scored 35, and Kevin Fiala has now stepped up in 35-goal scorer. You need that fourth prong of attack here, and I think one of those forwards, a big-time scorer, would certainly help this team. And it's L.A., so if you get a star player, you know you're going to sell a lot of jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Big off season for LA. No doubting that when it comes to Drew. I know you go in the, you go in the postseason. We're almost done. Don't worry. Postseason, you lose to Edmonton. What did you like? I know the home record, Dennis, was incredible by the LA Kings this season. What were some things that stood out for you more this year than as opposed to the season before with the LA Kings, positive wise?
What did you like?
Well, the emergence of Quentin Byfield was certainly like he was the high scorer down, I think, the last 30, 35 games.
Yeah.
He'd become a number one center, and Kopitar's last season is coming up, and he shouldn't be the one C when he's 38 years old. Quentin Byfield's taking that over. I really like the way Kevin Fiala played down the stretch. And Jim Hiller, my buddy, in press conferences said that, said that it was a challenge to get Kevin to play the right way without taking dumb penalties, make this bad decision, making hero plays, taking stick fouls in the neutral zone and play and what plays away from the puck. He really came into a very dangerous player every night, a player that is it's only dangerous to the opposition, not his own team. And I think the resurgence of Darcy Kemper and the fact that he got a Vezina nomination.
Agreed.
Without him, and I know, Rob Blake forever, his legacy would be tied to the Dubois trade that failed, but to recover and get a goaltender under $6 million a year that gave you a veteran level performance is a nice recovery going forward. So they have parts. They have almost a core. They set the franchise record for 105 points. They tied the record this season. So that's a really good team. It's a team that can't win in the playoffs. So the next GM has to find a combination of players and maybe coaches that can win in the playoffs.
Tall order, I guess, a little bit, but it seems like you said, you mentioned, Dennis, there's so many good pieces in play right now, and there's a lot of young talent coming up. It's just building around, and I still think the future, there's a good reason for LA Kings fans to feel fairly optimistic this offseason. Sure. All right, we'll move on to 77 seconds, yeah?
Let's do it. Okay. Here we go, Dennis. Ready? 3, 2.
You know the drill.
Knows the drill. Even if he didn't, I wouldn't tell him anyway. He's a pro. He's a pro. Okay.
I'm ready.
Utah Mammoth, yay or nay?
On the name. Yeah, I like it too. Yeah. Which team comes out of the East to land themselves in the Stanley Cup final?
Florida Panthers.
Who wins the heart?
Leon Draisaitl.
That is the correct response. Your favorite live event that you attended this season?
Favorite live event that I attended this season? Yeah, Stadium Series in Columbus. It was fantastic. The city was great. Game was fun. Had to always have a great time at Stadium Series.
Gary Lawless, we had him on recently, and he said that his most favorite moment, non-Vegas moment this season, was in an Uber with you.
Yes.
Was that one of your most favorite moments, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. I was belted in and Gary was not. He went flying and his glasses went flying and I was safe and sound. So, yeah.
He said that he knew that you now have his back for the rest of his life
because
you came through. Yes. You came through in the tough. How far did the Yankees go this year?
They'll lose the World Series to the Dodgers again.
Wow, that's very specific.
No one peace and quiet in my house. No.
Right.
I couldn't celebrate a series victory in my house.
Favorite hot stove moment of 24-25 so far?
When you were talking to D'Angelo and I forgot to hit the cough button, I was coughing on the phone.
I introduced Deandra, and you were hacking. Oh my
I switched microphones and then muted the one outlet that the old mic was on. And, so coughing was certainly great.
And then she came on with us after that, so that was good for her.
She was taken aback. She thought that I was very ill or I was about to die in the air, which would have been fun. So.
I'm amazed at how quickly you answered that. All right, here's the final one. This is my bonus Victoria question. When the three of you, the hot stove gentlemen, are live on location somewhere, yourself, Dave Pagnotta, of course, Ryan Payton, who is consistently the best dressed?
Is that a question?
Yeah, why not?
Is that a statement? It should be. You should just say Dennis is the best dressed. It should have been a statement. Okay.
But it's I didn't figure there was going to be much debate over that.
I'm well known for my jackets.
There's no debate. Yeah. Here, I'll put it this way. We all have our certain style. I feel like I'm coming in third, not that I'm comparing, but Dennis and Dave, I mean, they're different, but Dennis is.
My clothes fit.
poor Pagnotta.
You clothes fit. Pagnotta's? Collar's getting a little tight.
A little, you think? Yeah. I'm going to throw one quick one at the end. Okay. Do you only smoke cigars on Sundays?
Oh, right.
No. Okay. I smoke when my wife wants to smoke.
Okay.
Let's do this. So yeah, it does not. It's not only Sundays. No, it's been during the week. Whatever. If it's a nice night, like last night, it was gorgeous here. It was 75 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
At like 8 o'clock. So it's a nice way to wind down Mother's Day because we had visitors and it was a nice way to wind
down. Lovely.
So,
beautiful.
So no, it does not matter, Paige, what day of the week is. Cigar is always good if the time
love
is
it. Right. Dennis, we appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for doing this. And we'll look forward to doing this again.
Always great being on Pucks on 7. Thanks.
Thanks, Dee.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.